Murder and Mayhem in Jefferson County, Missouri. Murder of a Sweet Young Thing. Pearl Potosky, 1928. Mrs. Grace Waters peered out the window of her St. Louis business, the West End Health Institute. It was about 9 o'clock in the evening, and she noticed 25-year-old Pearl Potosky, operator of the Pearl Beauty Parlor, which was adjacent to her own building at the corner of Taylor and Delmar Boulevard, standing outside. The woman was crying as if her heart would break. It was unseasonably warm for Missouri that Saturday, December 1st, 1928, with temperatures hovering around the low 40s. Clouds were moving in, and drizzling rain was expected on Sunday. Mrs. Waters shook her head. Pearl was arguing with that man again. He never treated her right, in Mrs. Waters' opinion. It was a shame that such a pretty young girl would be so infatuated with a man old enough to be her father. The couple got into his Hudson sedan and left. 2 days later, Mrs. Waters picked up the St. Louis Globe-Democrat to read the startling headline, "Girl Found Slain in Wealthy Man's Apartment." Her companion, Solomon Hohenthal, was reported to have found her dead on the floor of his DeSoto, Missouri home the following evening from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The victim was identified as Pearl Potosky. Welcome to another episode of Murder and Mayhem in Jefferson County, Missouri. I am your host, Mindy Hudson, genealogist at the Jefferson County Library. Each week we bring you stories about murders and scandals that have occurred in the county's 200-year history. Jefferson County lies just south of St. Louis in the rolling hills and valleys that form the foothills of the Ozark Mountains. Using the databases and resources available in the library genealogy department, we have been able to piece together events in order to tell a compelling story of love, betrayal, abuse, and murder. DeSoto, Missouri is located in Valley Township, situated at the southernmost section of Jefferson County. Although established in 1803 by a Spanish land grant to Walter DeWitt, it was Isaac Van Meter who built the first cabin there. When the Iron Mountain and Southern Railway announced plans to build a railroad from St. Louis to Iron County, Missouri in 1851, Thomas Fletcher, future governor, and his brother-in-law, Lewis Rankin, purchased land and platted out a town, giving it the name DeSoto, in honor of explorer Hernando de Soto. The railroad became the principal hub of commerce, and a thriving town grew up around it. Blonde, blue-eyed Anna Pearl Potosky, born in 1901, was the daughter of Martin Paskowski and Joseph Kalinowski, Polish immigrants who settled in St. Louis. Pearl's father passed away in 1904, leaving a wife and three daughters. At a very young age, all of the girls went to work in various occupations to help make ends meet. Pearl's dream was to have her own beauty salon, and she got her chance when she met Saul Hohenthal, a wealthy merchant from DeSoto, Missouri. Solomon Hohenthal, the son of Jewish immigrant parents, Herman Hohenthal and Rachel Rosenfeld, was born in 1870. Herman was a dry goods merchant who established a prosperous mercantile store at 108 South Main, DeSoto, in 1869. The two-story brick building boasted two balconies on either side of an upstairs bay window and a large display window on the ground floor. Solomon, called Saul, worked in the store with his father and sister Gertrude. Neither he nor Gertrude ever married. However, Saul was fond of the young ladies, reputation for not caring about how young they might be or their marital status. Of course, with the vast wealth he had available, he was a tempting prize for pretty girls whose naive nature often outweighed their good sense. Such was the case of Anna Pearl Potosky. She met Saul when she was in her early 20s, and he already well past 50. On one occasion in January 1920, Saul was staying at the swanky Missouri Athletic Association while on a weekend visit to St. Louis. He was walking down the street when he happened to meet a pretty girl walking toward him. They spoke, and she introduced herself as Pearl Potosky. The two struck up a friendship, which lasted 9 years. According to Hohenthal, they went out on dates, and he sent her to business college. He also helped set up the beauty parlor business to help her out. He split his time between his business in DeSoto and various social events, restaurants, and bars located in St. Louis, often accompanied by his beautiful date. Around 8:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, December 2, 1928, Deputy Sheriff William Bates was in his backyard in DeSoto when he heard what sounded like a shot being fired. It seemed to have come from Hohenthal's garage, but not hearing any other commotion, Bates decided not to investigate. About 8 hours later, Saul called friends and said he had found Miss Potosky's fully clothed body lying on the floor in his living room. He also called Pearl's sister, Marie Johnson, to tell her Pearl had shot herself and was dead. Around 4 o'clock p.m., Coroner Gibson was called, and Deputy Bates also heard the news and arrived. Upon examination, the coroner found that there was a bullet wound over the left eye and an exit wound behind the right ear. A soft spot and bruising was noticed. There was also a blood stain that looked like a handprint on her right stocking. Deputy Bates was handed a .22 caliber pistol, which was to be worked. It was rusty, and there was dust and mildew in the barrel, and no odor of powder. I tried to work the gun, but the ejector was too badly rusted to move. End quote. When Pearl's sister arrived, she was quick to point out that the relationship between Pearl and Hohenthal had been stormy and violent. Saul declared that he was set to marry her, a claim supported by her family, and apparently one that Pearl believed at the time of her death. But there were things that didn't add up about the relationship. After Pearl and Saul left the beauty shop, where Mrs. Waters had seen them quarreling and Pearl sobbing so pitifully, they headed to Alaska Street, where Pearl lived with her mother, Josephine, arriving around 11 o'clock p.m. According to Mrs. Potosky, Hohenthal was extremely angry and red-faced. The trouble was over a dance at the Coronado Hotel that Pearl wanted to attend with her sister, Mrs. Marie Johnson. According to Mrs. Johnson, Pearl had declined the offer, saying that she had to remain at the beauty shop until 9 o'clock to await Hohenthal's arrival. She had been spending her weekends at his home in DeSoto in anticipation of their wedding, which was supposed to occur that Christmas. However, Mrs. Johnson had doubts about the story he gave, claiming her sister had committed suicide. The gun found beside her belonged to Saul. In fact, Hohenthal was always armed, she confided. She recalled he and Pearl had been dinner guests at the Johnson home at Thanksgiving, and she had noticed a revolver protruding from his pocket that day. When questioned about how he had picked Miss Potosky up from the beauty parlor the previous evening around 9 o'clock p.m., He said he took her by her mother's place on Alaska Street before driving out to his apartment in DeSoto. They arrived at 2 a.m., where they drank beer most of the night. He said that they had gone to bed in separate rooms around 6 a.m., and that he didn't wake up until around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When he went to check on her, she was not in her room, so he searched until he found her body lying on the dining room floor. When asked about whether he had heard any noise when the gun had discharged, he said no. He insisted that he had tried to call 3 physicians after finding her body, but was unable to reach anyone. So he went to a local pool hall to summon friends for help. When questioned why she would want to kill herself, Hohenthal replied that she owed a lot of money in St. Louis. He had intended to pay those debts for her, he added. Pearl's family wasn't buying it. They had been witness to several incidents involving his violent treatment of her, including the night of her death. According to her mother, when they arrived at her house that evening, Saul was red hot with anger because Pearl wanted to go to the dance with her sister. She said he threatened to kill her if she tried to go. Pearl retorted that she knew things about him that would put him in jail for a long time. Hohenthal was barred from attending the funeral, but he had such hubris that he showed up at the White Brothers undertaking establishment on South Grand Boulevard just before 2 o'clock and demanded to be admitted. The undertaker informed him that the family had forbidden his entrance, so he returned to the crowd waiting outside. While he loitered around with the crowd, a police officer searched him and found a concealed weapon. When questioned about where he had received the gun, Hohenthal replied that it had been returned to him after the inquest. When asked if he had a permit to carry it, Hohenthal admitted that he didn't, but he was allowed to carry it in DeSoto without problem. The officer remarked, quote, "You're in St. Louis now, and you're no better than anybody else who carries a weapon without a permit," end quote. Pearl's family had seen enough abuse over the 9 years of their relationship that they discounted any notion she had killed herself. There had been other incidents which pointed to Hohenthal's probable guilt. As a result, her family requested that another inquest be held after the funeral. Upon examination, it was revealed that, quote, "the bullet entered Miss Potoski's head above the left eye and emerged below the right ear, causing a star-shaped fracture of the skull where it emerged," end quote. But the most disturbing find was the 5 additional fractures, which were a few weeks older than the ones caused by the bullet. 2 of the fractures appeared to have been caused by a blunt object. These fractures were apparently sustained a few weeks before her death. Governor Gibson reported there was a fracture which extended upward for 2 inches from the left eye, which was black and bruised, and there was another fracture at the base of her skull. Another troubling aspect was the condition of the gun supposed to have been the weapon used. It was old, rusted, and filled with dust and mildew. According to experts, the weapon could not have been fired the night of Pearl's death. On Monday, December 3rd, Ed Lewis, a DeSoto night marshal and a member of the coroner's jury, was stopped on the street by Hohenthal, who said, quote, "I want you and Ed Whitehead, who was another local marshal, to fix things up for me," end quote. With all of the circumstantial evidence against him, Coroner Walter E. Gibson announced on December 6th that Hohenthal would be arrested for Miss Potoski's murder. As it was, he had already been arrested the previous day on the weapons charge, for which he posted a $1,000 bond. As a result of the scandal, Hohenthal's membership at the Missouri Athletic Association was withdrawn. On May 16, 1929, Saul Hohenthal was indicted on a charge of murder in the first degree. Hohenthal posted a $25,000 bond and continued to insist that Pearl had repeatedly threatened to kill herself. At trial, he had at least one witness to corroborate his story, but the testimony of his witness wasn't as compelling as that of the prosecution's lineup. Mrs. Josephine Potosky, Pearl's mother, testified that 2 years before, Saul had choked her daughter and had threatened her with a pistol which the mother managed to take away from him. At a later date, Saul requested the pistol be returned to him because he claimed, quote, he had two notches in it, end quote. On another occasion, Mrs. Anna Mathers, owner of a restaurant the couple frequented, related how Hohenthal had seized Miss Potosky by the throat at her restaurant and pressed her against the wall. Mrs. Mathers and other patrons leapt to the young woman's aid and managed to calm the man's explosive outburst. About 6 weeks before Pearl's death, Night Marshal Ed Lewis was walking his beat in the business district of DeSoto, where Hohenthal lived above a chain grocery. He testified that he heard a woman screaming and was able to trace the cries to Hohenthal's apartment. Lewis said he went around behind the building and stood below the window. He said, quote, I could see Hohenthal standing at the bedroom door talking to somebody in the bedroom. After a few minutes, he went into the bedroom, and I heard the screaming again. Then I saw the woman dash out of the bedroom, followed by Hohenthal. They ran a sort of foot race around the room, end quote. 2 weeks before her death, Lewis said he saw Miss Potosky sitting in an automobile a block from the apartment, blowing the horn continuously. Her eyes were bruised and swollen. She had a cut on her hand, and her hair was disheveled. She demanded that Hohenthal be arrested, but Lewis explained he would have to get a warrant first. When questioned, Hohenthal claimed that Miss Potosky was trying to commit suicide and had tried to drink poison from a cup which he had slapped out of her hand. Then, in a rage of temper, she had smashed a mirror, cutting her hand, and had fallen against a bed, which was how she bruised her eyes. By the time Lewis left to seek a warrant, both Pearl and Saul tracked him down and asked him to drop the investigation. In an effort to plant a seed of doubt in the minds of the jury, Saul Hohenthal's defense presented two or three letters written by Pearl, which painted her as a woman of, quote, morose and despondent temperament, end quote. The tactics seemed to work. Despite all of the evidence of abuse, when the jury went to deliberate, they could not reach a consensus on the verdict. They took 25 ballots, but were deadlocked 9-3 for conviction. The prosecuting attorney announced he would seek a retrial. The jury for the second trial of Saul Hohenthal was chosen in March 1930. It took 3 hours for the jury to come back with an acquittal. Saul Hohenthal was free. Although he didn't face criminal punishment for his actions, in September 1929, Hohenthal was expelled from membership at his Masonic Lodge in DeSoto on a charge of immoral conduct as a result of his scandalous behavior. It didn't take long for him to pick up where he left off, however. In November 1930, Saul Hohenthal, 60, was arrested at the Atlantic Hotel at 15th and Pine Streets, St. Louis, with Mrs. Helen Schaub, 29, on a complaint by her estranged husband. Saul Hohenthal left DeSoto in early 1942 and drifted from one hotel to another until early September, when he checked into the Stone Nursing Home on West Pine Boulevard in St. Louis, where he died September 9, 1942, of heart failure at the age of 72. He was survived by a nephew and two nieces. He was buried at Mount Sinai Cemetery. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode of Murder and Mayhem in Jefferson County, Missouri, brought to you by the Jefferson County Library Genealogy Department, located at the Northwest Branch, 5680 Highway PP, High Ridge, Missouri. Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/JCL Genealogy for newspaper articles and photographs relating to this and other podcasts. Please join us again next week for Murder in the Family, Russell Becker, 1929.